So over the past year, we've made a point here at GN to spotlight our small businesses across the area, all the things they've been through over this year, try to show our support for them too. Now, 1 year later, here we are. So many different stories to tell, and I want to talk to a couple small business owners this hour about where things stand today. Our friend Steve Buzil is with SitCloseTickets.com. And Steve, how the heck are you? I haven't talked to you in ages.
You know, I'm just happy to be here at this point of our lives to be able to take this call. It's been a little challenging. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on. I had heard, you know, the ticket business is one of those that got extremely hard hit, of course, because you had all of the events and concerts and all the and games, right? I mean, I've known a lot of us at GN have come to you over the years for Cubs tickets and things like that, because your office was right there across the street. So you're a very popular spot if you needed tickets. And how are things, Steve? Tell us about the journey over this past year.
So the journey was very, very difficult, as everybody can imagine, you know, but it happened in a lot of industries as well. Our journey, we went from, you know, being a hero to zero. We had zero income, no events to sell. You know, I've been in the business 30 years. I'm not exactly ready to pivot to try to do something else at 63 years old. So right now, the state of it is starting to come back a little, but it was a really tough road. Again, I'm not looking for sympathy, but it was very tough out here. Very, very tough.
And Steve, as things start picking up now, people are going out again. You're seeing some concerts come back, and people are, you know, you're seeing them get rescheduled, book events that, you know, didn't get to do last year. Is the business coming back, or what's going on now?
Well, so here's what, there's a tremendous amount of consolidations of the big and small, you know, ticket brokers across the country. A lot of them didn't make it, so they're completely out of business. But what's happening now is that the bigger guys like the StubHubs of the world and the Vivid Seats of the world, they have chosen to not pay the brokers or anybody else. If you're as we call it, a straight, just a, you know, regular person listing your product on StubHub, your seats, they will not pay you for that event till after the event happens. So let me give you an example. Billie Eilish went on sale last week, mm-hmm. and we're selling tickets for Billie Eilish now on some of those exchanges. Now, Billie Eilish isn't going to be till the year 2022. So StubHub now has the use of our money, okay? We have to pay the amusement tax to the city of Chicago. That's got to pay. They're not going to wait for their money for a year. So it's really, really challenging now in order to stay in business, because you have to, you know, you got to have a bankroll that, you know, the size of Texas in order to play this game.
So when would, Steve, maybe make sure I understand this. When would you get paid on your Billie Eilish tickets? You buy a whole block of them, and then she performs in 2022. You don't get it back until then?
You don't get it back till the show plays.
Wow.
StubHub, the Vivids, they're keeping the money. They're hurting themselves. So they've chosen to go after the brokers, even the little people that wanted to buy something. They can't go. They have to. They can't get their money till after the show date. And almost, you know, it's 8-9 months, whatever it is, 10 months. You're not getting paid. Doesn't matter. So it's really, you know, you go from the pandemic. You know, into, you know, having to have a bankroll, like I said, the size of Texas. So it's one thing after the other.
Right. And I had no idea that was going on. And that just seems, it seems wrong if they make you wait until that point. If you're buying the tickets now, it seems as if there should be some sort of situation. And is that totally new in the ticket broker world? Like pre-pandemic, that was different?
It is brand new. Well, the pandemic, there was nothing to sell. So, you know, there was no outlay of cash or anything to buy, because there were no tickets. Everything was getting rescheduled, you know, canceled, rescheduled again. So, yeah, this is a new twist that the public and the brokers across the country are facing right now. And I think that's going to further, you know, put these people out of business, you know, us alike, put us out of business, because there's no way to operate. There's no way to operate and trying to hold that inventory, pay for that inventory, and not get paid for a year. So, you know, potentially a year, 6 months, 8 months, you know, whatever it is. It's just not feasible.
The other dramatic shift I'm seeing, Steve, is that they're physical tickets. You don't get physical tickets, really, it seems, for much these days.
Well, that actually, to me, that's actually a better process, because it saves a lot of brokers now from having brick and mortar, having to pay for brick and mortar. It's all mobile transfer. The purpose of the mobile transfer, in my opinion, number one, it cuts down the cost for any of these teams, any of these concerts, any of these, you know, you don't have the physical cost of printing the tickets. So they save millions and millions and millions of dollars. So that's one thing. The other thing it does is it stops a lot of the tickets from being counterfeited. So because it has to go through their apps, like the MLB app or their StubHub app. So they actually verify the fact that the ticket is legitimate by going through their app. So it saves a lot of people from, you know, being taken advantage of on the streets, buying tickets fraudulently, and it drives people into the right, you know, into the regular broker sites or, you know, the StubHub or Vivid. Not that I'm trying to make them any money.
Right. It sounds like they're making a lot of money already off of guys like you, to be honest. That's what I'm getting from this.
I should have looked to mommy. I should have gone to med school like mommy wanted me to, and I wouldn't be in this position.
It's been a heck of a ride. I know that for you, Steve, because you've met so many interesting people. People loved you. Do you still have the place across from Wrigley there? Is that still where your office is if people want to come and check you out?
I do not. I've actually closed the place. The city of Chicago has chased, if you will, a lot of probably 99% of the brokers out of the city because of their amusement tax that they're trying to impose, that they have imposed on us brokers, but they don't impose those on the StubHub and the Vivids of the world. So the playing field is not level. Again, with this new, where they're holding on to the money, we then, not only do we have to buy the tickets, we have to pay the amusement tax.
Yeah.
If we sell it in March of 2021, we have to pay it in April of 2021, even though the event, we're not getting paid till next year.
That's so weird.
It chased everybody out of the city.
Yeah, so no, I hear you.
Millions in revenue. So it is what it is. We're still here, you know.
Well, you're still there, and if people do, are there tickets you can actually get paid on today? If somebody wants to say, hey, I'm going to go to sitclose.com, I'm going to buy my tickets through you, what do you actually get paid on now?
Well, if we don't list them through this, you know, through the sites, if we don't get them, you know, if we don't sell them through those sites, we can get paid, you know, right away,
right,
from our clients. So that's one way of doing it. But again, it's, I would say that on a site like StubHub, you probably have 80% brokers that own that inventory.
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that, but that's exactly what it is. These brokers across the country make those people a lot of money, which is okay. That's the way the system was set up. That's the playing field. We understand that game.
Right.
But, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, we're kind of running tight on time here, Steve, but let me just remind people that sitclose.com, you're still in business, and I hope you continue to do so. And I hope that the city levels the playing field, too. So check it out. Buy your tickets there if you want to support a small business. And thank you for letting us know what's going on. It's kind of eye-opening to see that, just for that one industry, how the little guys are sort of being shaken out, it feels like. And maybe the city will make a change.
Listen, we can only hope, and I appreciate the opportunity for us to be with you today.
Thanks, Steve. We'll talk soon. Steve Buzil, right, there well. He is with sitclose.com. We've got to pause here on GN. More on the other side. Stay with us. And we're going to talk with the owner of Central Camera, another small business that has come, well, a lot to discuss since a year ago when that store in the Loop burned down. We'll visit with Don Flesch coming up here next. All right, let's talk with Don Flesch at Central Camera here. I don't know if you'll remember this. Hi, Don. Very few of us could forget, if you've seen the video back a year ago when you watched your family family's 122-year-old business, Central Camera, right there in the Loop, burned down during the civil unrest. You sat across the street and you had a message of hope. It was remarkable. I think that that's what stood out to me, how hopeful you were at a moment like that. And I just wanted to revisit with you. How are you feeling today and how's the business doing?
Well, we're feeling exactly the same, and it's multiplying. You got good people, you got good weather, you got a good environment, and everything is perfect. So,
what's the status of Central Camera today? How's the business?
The old store or the new store?
I don't know. Both, I guess.
So we'll start out with the temporary store. Well, we've got a nice space that's about one-third the size of the old, and we've got it all filled up, and we get a lot of nice people, and whatever we don't have, we send to our competitors. So people get what they want, whether it's from us or somebody else, to keep them happy. So,
The old store
is coming back. It's probably sometime in late August or maybe early September. There's so much. We just got some permits in today that have taken anywhere from 2.5 to 3 months to get to be able to go forward with some of the special rebuild.
You seem to have a very relaxed, very centered kind of attitude about this. I think a lot of folks might be more upset about their 122-year-old family business burning down to the ground, but you're rebuilding.
Well, the business is not gone. The business isn't gone. The business is me and the people who work here and our customers. Mm-hmm. It's just in a different space for right now, which is a different place in your mind, maybe. But yesterday is over. Go forward. Live in the present and push for the future. So,
again, very hopeful message. I know you had a lot of things that were there for all those years, and I've been told that you're going to kind of create like sort of a living museum in some way.
We did before. Our store before was a living museum. It had a history of photography, and it had all kinds of people, short ones, tall ones, fat ones, skinny ones, men, women, and every color. So we had a real diversified environment. Make sure it happens again, and it's just a positive, wonderful thing. Photography is great for everybody. In fact, everybody can take pictures now because of what? Their cell phone.
Right.
And everybody's carrying a cell phone if they can afford it. Now, is it the picture they want? Who cares? It's a picture. So you learn from what you took. What's wrong with your first bicycle? Nothing.
It's a little small.
You might want a second bicycle. You might not need it, so.
I hear you. You trudge forward and you move onward, and that's it's a great message.
Right.
It's a positive one, yes. And it's remarkable how you've just lived that. You've lived that over the last year. You continue to do that now. If people want to visit you or you take advantage of the services you provide, or you're open, you say, right? Is it totally open next door?
We've been open next door inside since the end of October. When it got cold, we finally got off the street, and we've been here now since then. So, what, 6-7 months almost?
Mm-hmm. You got customers? A lot of customers, Don? How's it going?
A lot of customers, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the volume is what it is, and we don't sell a lot of equipment, whether it's new or used, because who needs it? I already own a camera. So does the woman next to me. So does the person on my left. So you need things to make it work. And, people, we repair cameras. People can sell cameras. A lot of people have been donating items which are photographically, identifiable for the darkroom or the enlargers or whatever. And one thing that has to be brought up, though, one of the things I want to teach more people about is the necessity to protect yourself for the things that you own. Now, what does that mean? So you rent or you own, you have to have insurance. If you don't have insurance, you can't prove that you had a starting point.
Did you have insurance?
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Oh, God, don't even get me started, but I don't have insurance on those.
How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Honestly, no idea. No idea, Don. Probably that means I have too many.
16. But whatever you play, you might have more. So you would have lost money on a claim that destroyed everything.
Yeah. And did you have insurance on?
Yes, we had a very good policy, but it wasn't enough. Because there's things you might have added in the month before, or the 2 months before, or the 6 months before. So, or what? People brought items to be repaired.
Right.
That's our responsibility. It's on consignment, in a sense. Or you brought your film in to get developed. we're getting back in the next anywhere from 1 to 3 months, approximately 11,000 items that were picked up off the floor on the broken showcases, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have to inventory them. We have them taken where they could be cleaned, get rid of fungus and mold, and have a COVID-19 swoop, you know. But now they've been stored for anywhere from 2 to 3 to 4 months. So they have to be cleaned exterior again.
Don, I got to run. I'm happy to know that you are open. I'm happy to know that you have this same positive spirit you had back then. So Central Camera, check it out.
Right.
And thank you for checking in with us 1 year later, Don. It's good to talk with you.
That's very kind of you. We'll check in with you again when we open up back in September.
We'd appreciate it. Thank you, sir.